Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to preach a message concerning David's brethren. And in this message, not only are we going to look at his brethren, we're also going to look at Joseph's brethren and the brethren of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing that's interesting is that in David's family there was strife over God's choice of David. In Joseph's family there was strife over God's choice of Joseph. And in Jesus' family, there was strife over God's choice of Jesus Christ. And you know, the verse of Scripture that really brought this to mind is found in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. I was reading this just the other day, and it really struck me. Listen what 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 says. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. So he is hiding now from Saul to protect his life. And when he escapes to the cave Adullam, the Bible says, when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. That's a very interesting turn of events. When David's brethren knew that he had escaped to the cave Adullam, they went down to him, along with other men who were in distress, in debt, and discontented. Now that's surprising. That's surprising when you consider Eliab's anger against David in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28, Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when David spake unto the men. David had come down where, you know, Goliath was challenging the army, and he was all interested in what was going on and what Saul had promised to give the person who would challenge Goliath and all that kind of thing. When Eliab, David's eldest brother, heard when he spake to the men, Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, now listen to this condescending speech here. Why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Like, we are the big guys and we're fighting this great battle, and all you have is the responsibility for a handful of sheep. You know, what are you doing here? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle like a spectator. You surely didn't come down here to fight. Now, you hear that? That condescending attitude of the eldest brother? You know, David is the youngest brother. Well, undoubtedly, Eliab's wrath against his brother was precipitated by the fact that Eliab was the eldest and David was the youngest. And yet, it was David who was anointed by Samuel to be king in the midst of his brethren. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 16, Samuel is looking for a king to anoint to replace Saul. And the first person to be brought before Samuel is Eliab in verse 6. And Samuel says, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But the Lord said, no. Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. So all these children come by. And then finally, Samuel in verse 11 says to Jesse, are here all thy children? He said, well, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. He said, all right. Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. So he sent and brought him in verse 12. And David was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance, goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Now watch it. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him," watch it, "in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." You see that? When Samuel anointed him, it wasn't a private thing. He anointed the young, ruddy David in the midst of his brethren. Now, you got to know, boy, that is going to stir up some sibling rivalry. So when David shows up at the battle, and the three oldest brothers are there fighting against the Philistines, why, they really put him down. "Who are you? You know, I know your pride, the naughtiness of your heart. With whom did you leave those little sheep?" You know, that thing usually doesn't sit so well with an older brother. You know, there in David's family, that's not the only place you're going to see this sibling rivalry. There are a couple of other instances in the Bible where brothers are obviously opposed to God's choice in their family. Joseph's brothers, in Genesis chapter 37, envied him. Joseph was young, and he, you know, has these dreams where the brothers and then the whole family are bowing down to him. That's going to stir up trouble with anybody. Joseph had some learning to do, no doubt. Nevertheless, after he communicates these dreams to his brothers, the Bible says in Genesis 37:11, his brethren, watch it, envied him. But his father observed the saying. Now, it's harder to stand against envy than it is to stand against anger. Turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, and look at verses 3 and 4. Proverbs chapter 27, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "A stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy?" In other words, that's even worse. You know, after Joseph's brothers heard these dreams, they wanted to kill him. And they were given an opportunity to kill him when Joseph was sent out by his father to go meet his brethren who were out working cattle. Genesis chapter 37, verse 18, "When they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him." They wanted to kill him. Well, Reuben intervened, and so instead of killing him, they decided to sell him into slavery to the Ishmaelites who came from Gilead. Look at Genesis chapter 37, verse 26. "And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. For he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content." So they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Wow. You know, not only was there strife in Joseph's family, as there was in David's family, but there was also strife in Jesus' family. Jesus' brothers were against him. In John chapter 7, John chapter 7, in verses 3 through 5, we find out that Jesus' brothers didn't believe in him. You see, there was a Feast of the Tabernacles in John chapter 7, verse 2. And verse 3, "His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world." And that's a condescending statement they're making there. Watch what they say in verse 5. The Bible says, "For neither did his brethren believe in him, They didn't say all that to help Jesus Christ in his ministry. They said that to be condescending, to put him down. You want to be a big shot? You want to be known in the whole world? Go show thyself. Because they didn't believe in him. Yet in each of these three instances, David with his brothers, Joseph with his brothers, and Jesus with his brothers, circumstances changed and the brothers ended up coming around to appreciate the brother against whom they were opposed. So today in this lesson, we're going to look at two things. First, we're going to see what David, Joseph, and Jesus did about their brother's opposition. And the second thing we're going to do is we're going to see what it was that brought the brothers around. So first, what is it that David, Joseph, and Jesus did about their brother's opposition? You want to know what the answer is? It's very simply, they went right on with their lives. They didn't let the opposition they had from their brothers slow them down for 1 minute. I mean, Eliab really put David down in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28. He really put him down. Let's go back to that passage. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28. What does the Bible say? Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, and thy naughtiness of thy heart. Thou art come down that thou mightst see the battle, like a spectator." Now watch what David does to this condescending statement that Eliab makes. David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And in the next verse, verse 30, he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the same manner. What did he do? He just turned. He turned from him to another. In other words, David didn't bother trying to argue with his brother at all. He didn't fret. He didn't let it bother him in the least. He didn't turn to the other guys who would have heard Eliab say that and say, "Now, come on, you know, quit, don't believe my brother," and blah, blah, blah. He just went right on with the task at hand to kill Goliath. And after that, he went to work fighting battles for Saul. You know, if Eliab had never come around, it wasn't going to affect David. Not in the least. And yet, we find out later Eliab did come around and joined David in the cave of Adullam, along with the rest of his brothers. Do you understand? Whenever your family opposes you, whenever your brothers oppose you, or your siblings or your children or somebody like that that's close to you opposes you, you get this idea that you need to slow down. You need to try to win their favor. You need to listen to what they say. You need to try to placate them and reconcile with them to some extent. But I'm telling you, from the example you see with David didn't stop anything. "Eliab, you're with me? Fine. You're not with me? That's okay. I got a job to do. Is there not a cause? Where's my sling? Where are the rocks? Let's go kill Goliath." He didn't stick around and whine for 1 minute that his older brother had just given him a real slap in front of all these soldiers. David had a job to do, and he did it. You see, whenever you find that your brothers are opposed to you, people, that is, that are close to you, who really matter to you, when you find they're opposed to you, you just got to go on and do what you got to do, whatever it is that God called you to do. Look, at Joseph, back in Genesis, who was sold into slavery, he certainly went on with his life. He gets down there into Egypt. He's sold into Potiphar's house. What happens? He becomes the greatest servant that Potiphar could possibly have. And then what? Well, you know the move that Potiphar's wife makes on him, so he ends up in prison. And the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. He became the head trustee of the whole thing, the keeper of the prison. Look not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Joseph didn't sit there and cry and whine in his cell and get bitter at everybody and get all upset because his family was against him. He just did what he needed to do. He became an extremely faithful servant. And when he finally was released, he served Pharaoh the same way that he had served the others, faithfully. He served Egypt the same way. And you know, listen, you know beyond a doubt that Joseph had put all the trouble with his brothers behind him by the way that he named his children. Look in Genesis chapter 41. When he has two sons, in Genesis chapter 41, in verse 51, Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. And here's the interpretation. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. He said, man, God's in this. I am not going to worry about it. I'm not going to fuss over it. I'm not going to fret over it. You know what he's going to do? I forget it. I'm just going to forget my father's house. And you know what? Strangely enough, lo and behold, his brothers showed up. And when they did, he received them graciously. In Genesis chapter 45, by the time he reveals himself to his brothers, he says from the get-go in Genesis 45, 4 and 5, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. Watch it. For God did send me before you to preserve life. And what did he do? Nothing. He never slowed down. He went right on with his life. And when his brothers did come back into his life, he didn't sit there and bellyache all about what happened and didn't fuss with them all about what happened. He just said, God did this to preserve life. And he was still going right on. In other words, he truly did forget. He put it all behind him. Look at Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ certainly went on with his ministry. And he even admitted the most difficult people to convince in the ministry are family members. Look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Watch this thing right here. Mark chapter 6, in verse 4, Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, watch it, and in his own house. And you know what? Jesus didn't fret. He didn't quit. He didn't stop everything to try to reconcile with his brothers and say, now come on, if you don't believe in me, how are the rest of the people in the world going to believe in me? Man, if I can't win over my family, I'm a failure in the ministry. I might as well quit. He didn't do any of that. He didn't change to make himself more acceptable to his brothers. He just went on with his life. And oddly, in time, his brothers came around to him. You say, how do you know that? Go to Acts chapter 1. Look at Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, they're all gathered up in the upper room praying. And look who's there. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, watch it, and with his brethren. They came around. As a matter of fact, when you read in Acts chapter 15, verse 13, about a fellow named James who is leading that council that's trying to make a decision about what to do with the Gentile converts, Acts 15, 13. After they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken to me. You know who that James is? That's the Lord's brother. Paul mentions him in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 19, talking about the people he visited in Jerusalem, Galatians 1:19, other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. And he's right there. As a matter of fact, he's not just along for the ride. He is leading the pack. Do you understand that? When David, Joseph, and Jesus had opposition from their families, they didn't change anything to address the opposition. They went right on with their lives. Listen, if your family is against you for following Jesus, then you just need to keep on going for Jesus. You will drive yourself crazy if you try to back up to appease your family. And you will never end up accomplishing what God has called you to do. So stay the course. Don't fret. Don't quit. And just recognize that God's choice is often opposed by his family or by her family members. If God chose you to do something, your family's not with it, then you do what God chose you to do, whether they come around or not. Now, in David's case, in Joseph's case, the Lord's case, they came around. They may come around in your case, but I guarantee it's not going to be because you're trying to placate them. It's only going to happen if you keep right on doing what God called you to do. Now, that's the first thing. David, Joseph, and Jesus met their brother's opposition by going right on with their lives. But look, what did God do to bring their brothers around? I'll tell you what he did. Listen, God worked out some circumstances in the lives of each of these families to eventually bring the brothers around to appreciate the choice that God had made. In David's case, he allowed David's brothers to become riddled with debt, with distress, and with discontentment, so that they were ready for David to start running things. I mean, they had seen all of Saul they wanted. They had been fighting with Saul. They saw Saul's tactics, claiming victories that he didn't fight when it was Jonathan or David who had fought them, and the jealousy that Saul had whenever David, you know, they sang the songs about the 10,000s that David had killed and the thousands that Saul had killed. They saw that Saul was trying to kill their brother. They saw what was going on, and they could see the great blessing of God in David's life, something that was obviously missing in Saul's life. I mean, they knew something was drastically different. The Spirit of God was evident in David's life, and the evil spirit was evident in Saul's life. And when they had to make a choice, there was no choice. They got over the fact that it was their younger brother that God had chosen, and they recognized his great leadership ability. So when they went down there, David became the captain, and the older brothers followed his orders. Listen, God has to prove himself in you if anybody's going to follow you. You can't back up and cry because they won't follow you before the proof. In Joseph's case, the Lord sent a famine in the land of Canaan as well as in the land of Egypt, and that forced the boys to go down to Egypt to buy corn. And by the time they got down there, the Lord had promoted Joseph after a long stretch of humbling him. You know, that time that he spent serving Potiphar, that time that he spent as a trustee in prison, that was good for Joseph. He needed it. He had to mature. He had to be molded in the hands of the potter to become the man that God wanted him to be. Now, I'm telling you, by the time that Joseph's brothers got there and realized who was in charge of the land, they gladly bowed down to him, because they realized he could save their lives. What a remarkable turn of events. God did that. God had to work those events out. Well, what did God do to bring the brothers around in Jesus' case? Well, God raised him from the dead and proved in the life of Jesus Christ that all he had been preaching was absolutely perfect. Listen, Jesus' brothers knew him better than anyone, and they knew better than anybody else, they could find no fault in Jesus Christ. Furthermore, they knew he had to be the Messiah. I mean, listen, can you imagine what would have happened if Jesus had just sat down and cried in Nazareth because his brothers didn't believe in him. Oh, I came down here to do all this work for God, and my own brothers won't even believe in me. Wah, wah, wah. I just can't go on for God. Here you are trying to do something in the ministry, and your children aren't going along with you, and you wah, wah, wah. Get over it. You go do what God called you to do, and if God wants to try to reconcile your family with you, let him have the room he needs to work out some circumstances in their lives. And maybe they'll come around. You're not going to change them. If anything, the more you do to try to change them, the more you're going to get off track. And the more you get off track, the more likely you're not going to get the things done for the Lord that he wants you to do, and then it wouldn't be worth reconciling with you in any case. So here's the conclusion of the whole matter concerning David's brethren and Joseph's brethren and Jesus' brethren. Don't fret when you have opposition at home. Don't worry about it. Forget it. Stay the course and let God work out the circumstances if he wants to. I mean, if he wants to, he'll bring your family in line with his plans for your life. But don't let your family bring you into line with their plans, because God said, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. What they think is good for you is not necessarily going to be good for you. You got to do what God wants you to do. And you can't be sitting around there chewing your fingernails and crying out your eyes and pulling out your hair because your family doesn't like what you're doing. It's too bad. They may in time. They may not. If they ever do, it's going to be because God did something in their lives. While he was doing something in your life, while you were doing something for him. I hope this message on David's brethren has been a blessing to you. I tell you, when I saw it, it was a great blessing to me. I was so glad to see David's brothers down in that cave of Adullam with him, finding out for sure the man that they had despised was in truth the man God chose. Amen. What a blessing.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.